Go out and be the person you were meant to be, and then go D-O, do the things that you were meant to do. It's up to Y-O-U what you will be and do, and it's in everything you be and do that makes you you.
I am so excited to have Julie Lee with me today. She is a good friend of mine from the National Speakers Association. She is a keynote speaker, an inspiring author, a mental health advocate, and just a really good friend. So I'm excited for you to get to know her today. And she is one of those people that I look at and I think she is being who she was meant to be. So that's kind of what I want to talk about today, Julie, is how you came to be this person who is being a speaker and an author and being a mental health advocate, all those things. What, you know, maybe not the whole story, because I know that's our life story, really, but what was it that really made the shift for you, especially in your thinking where you went, yeah, this is what I need to do, this is what I have to do, and what made that shift for you? What happened before that led to the after? I'd love to hear about that.
Well, thank you for having me, Lindy. That was a very kind introduction. I'm excited to be here on your cool podcast. So I grew up in a home where mental illness was really prevalent, and that was a really scary, challenging thing for me as a kid. And so when I left my home at, 18 or whatnot to college, I was really excited and committed to not having that in my own home ever again. I felt like I'd kind of done my part. I'd been really helpful, I hoped, in helping to manage what that looked like in a home. But being the bubbly, outgoing, just naturally happy, looking for fun kind of person I am, I was very committed to making sure I didn't marry someone who struggled with their mental health in any way, and never even considered that it would be a challenge for me. And then when I was 21, I found myself in a bathroom stall at work, just stifling back vomit, shaking uncontrollably, crying uncontrollably. I'd been kind of working myself into the ground for a while, trying to get a mentor to like me and just giving it everything I had. And I'd stopped sleeping, I'd stopped eating, and I was experiencing my first panic attack. And that was a life-changing moment that really changed the entire trajectory of my life. It was a really scary moment to see something in myself that I had seen so closely growing up that I had such triggering, traumatic feelings about. And so really for the next 5.5 to 6 years, I was on and off meds, in and out of different kinds of therapy, really trying to run from this thing that I didn't even want to talk about. I didn't want to call it what it was. There were just certain words that were triggering to me that I wouldn't even call it that. I remember in high school, even I took an AP psychology class. And I took the first semester, and I remember listening to some kids near me joke about a disorder that was in my home and make a joke about it. And I remember I decided not to take the second half because I couldn't take it. I couldn't take hearing other people joke about these things that have been so hard for me to watch so close up. And so obviously I had so many feelings about this that needing to find healing myself, both, I think from my childhood, it really forced me to do that. And also this struggle, this susceptibility I was having with anxiety and which would spiral into some pretty deep depression. And so that experience, I needed people in a way I've never needed people before. I'm an extrovert. I definitely get my energy with lots of people, and that will probably always be and always has been, but I needed people in a different way now. I needed people that were able to sit with me in sometimes uncomfortable, really raw, vulnerable places when I was not at my best, when I was not bubbly and happy and driven, when I was a puddle on the floor and didn't have the confidence to tie my own shoes. I needed people that could step in and remind me that the sun would come out for me one day, that I would be able to recognize the color in life again, that this was not permanent, that there was healing to be had. And those people that did that for me, I mean, their mentorship, their example literally saved my life, and it changed my life. And so that question of how did I get started into any of this? It was not my education. It was not one specific event, but it was this period of my life where people reached out and really saw me. And they were there to help me to not get in the hole with me. I call it the hole. You know, when I would be in that place where I'm like, I don't even think I've ever been happy. Like I'd feel those lies so hard that the demanding mistress of depression can teach us. But people that would sit on the edge of the hole and like put down a ladder or a rope and be like, hey, the sun is shining up here. Like here's a rung, here's a tool, here's try this. It changed everything for me. And I saw dramatically the influence that people can have. That it's not a, you know, there's so many quotes out there that maybe some people feel like are overused about, you know, if you just impact one person, it matters, or, you know, we can never deny the influence one person can have on a single human life or whatever it is. I'm pretty sure I'm making up these, but ish, right? You're with me. It's true. Because I experienced it up close and personal for myself. And it changed me in a way that I felt called and compelled and knew that I needed to share in some way. I needed to use the gifts I have, which I am pretty comfortable talking in front of people for better or for worse. And I am quite driven naturally, I think, and just inspired to do things. And I felt that it was time to combine those gifts that I had with some pretty life-altering experiences I had where other people showed up for me. That then turned into the ICU podcast, which then turned into a book contract, ICU, How Compassion and Connection Save Lives, which turned into speaking and training for faculties and companies, and just really working with leaders and professionals on how to implement human connection on a higher level in their work culture to help people feel seen, appreciated, and trusted.
Wow. That's amazing, Julie. That's really cool how the hard things in your life, the hardest things, is what inspired everything that you've done afterwards. And I think that's really what makes somebody inspiring is taking those hard things in life and then making something amazing out of it. So that's amazing. so cool.
Thank you.
When you were in that hole, because I mean, so many of us are, we get in that place and we just are so negative thinking, and we don't think that there's anything that's gonna get us out of that hole. I mean, you talked about some people that just came and helped you see that there was a way out, but you also talked about people just sitting there with you. I'd love to hear about the difference, because sometimes, you know, I love Brené Brown, and she talks a lot about shame versus guilt and different things like that. And she talks about people who just want to sit in that hole with you. But then also, I think there is that, okay, but you could do this, and these are some things that could help you get out of that. So sometimes that can be a little confusing. It has been to me over, you know, when do you want to sit with them and when do you want to give them that bit of advice or something that can help them out? And what's been the best way for you to do that, or that people have done that for you?
The answer that comes to mind isn't super concrete and succinct. The answer that comes to mind for me is to trust your gut. I mean, there's definitely been times for me when I have shared more with someone of my own experience on a personal level than maybe I would share over a microphone, just because I feel like it's what's needed. For example, there was a time, there was this guy in our neighborhood that we called the scary guy. He was like so scary looking. He like had a big head and just was like, oh, like big guy. And I like those sound effects are totally going to put an image. You get it. And he showed up on our door one day and was like, I just felt like I should come over. And I'm sitting there bawling on the couch, and he comes and he sits next to me, and he's just like, things are real bad, huh? And all I could do is nod. He's like, and you just feel like this is going to last forever, huh?
Wow.
Just nodded. And he took my hand and he said, let me tell you a story. And he told me the story of his own experiences as a 19-year-old boy when he suffered from some pretty debilitating anxiety for a couple of years and what that was like for him and the hope that he'd found, the medication, the resources he'd found, and how much he loved his life now. That was a time when someone chose to sit there in it with me and to say, here's some hope. And they didn't just listen. They said, let me talk to you about my story for a minute. And I think it's something that, I don't know. I think it's not something someone can tell you when it's the right moment. In my mind, it's a listening to your gut and being really mindful of what that person needs. And I think he could see the desperate place I was in. I mean, I called him multiple times after that and said, can you come over and remind me again? And he would come over and I'd just be like, will it end? Be like, yes. And you're happy now. He would say, yes. And I needed that. Like there are times when you need someone that's willing to go deep with you. I think most of the time, and he could relate on a really personal level too. I had another friend who had never struggled with anything with her mental health. She hadn't had it in her family, nothing. But I tell you what, that friend, like I remember a day when she came over that I was really struggling. Her and her husband came over and she opened the front door and she saw me across the room and I just started to crumble. And she literally, she didn't walk. She ran across the room and she just grabbed me like before I like collapsed to the floor and held me and just like held me in a bear hug. Like, you're not leaving this hug. Like we are intimately involved in this moment. Right. Like, but like, she didn't have a story to tell me of how she'd been to a similar place and how she got out, but she just, like, it just comes back to suffering is suffering is suffering is suffering. And when you suffered, it changes everything. Hopefully it can make you softer instead of harder. Whew. And I just, the power, like it's never lost on me. Every time I talk about this, it's never lost on me. The power that a human being has to impact someone and to change someone and to just feel loved. Like it just comes back. It's interesting. I'm doing an interview later today with a good friend. His name's Tony Overbay. I write a little bit about our first interview we did together in our book. He's a licensed marriage and family therapist. And I remember he talked about that moment when he's sitting across from someone in a therapy setting, obviously, that moment where someone isn't struggling, like even to want to live, and how in that moment that like everything off the table, all bets are off. Like what matters right now is that like you're loved and we want you here. And I think that's what it comes down to. And while like, I'm not going into workplaces expecting to like save people's lives. Those sacred moments changed everything for me into how I want to treat people and what really matters. And it's that people feel seen. It's that they feel seen, whatever circumstance they're in. The tools I teach, it's helpful whether someone's having a mental breakdown or they're just having a hard day or they're having a good day, like that, you know, how to congratulate and to celebrate with them more, help them feel seen that way. Like there's just so much joy to be had in life. And we really have great impact to do that for each other.
Oh my goodness, Julie. I love that. And I love that there's such a message of love in what you said. I mean, that's really where I come from. And what I want to help people to see is that love makes a difference. And so I love that's what you're teaching. And as we love other people and we're willing to get into that hole, to be vulnerable, to share those stories, that's when people feel seen. That really is, I think, what makes the difference to help us know, no, you're not alone. It's okay that you feel the way that you do. And I'm going to be here for you. I really love that. You have a book that you wrote that's, I love it. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your book?
Sure. Wait, which one? I have two books.
The broccoli. Well, the broccoli.
Oh. So I wrote, yes, sorry. So my first, this is awesome. This is why you podcast with friends. So the first one is called I See You, How Compassion and Connection Save Lives. And that is what I was contracted to write with my podcast. So that's a really special book where I talk a lot about some of my experiences and the tools that I've learned, and hopefully that can benefit other people, of how to see people better and to also feel seen, let yourself feel seen, and to have the courage to be seen, because it's a give and take for sure. A trusting relationship is about giving and receiving. And when you're not able to do that, I think it's hard to have trust in a relationship. So my children's book, which you're referring to, which I also equally love, is called Broccoli Punzel, A Girl with Extraordinary Hair. And it is a story about a princess that has broccoli for hair and she hates it. And it's kind of about her journey of self-acceptance and how what she, a gift that she's born with, that she doesn't see as a gift in the beginning, that it actually benefits other people, and the joy that comes into her life when using it to benefit other people, and how that really changes things for her. And it also changes not just her level of impact on others, but her own quality of life, her own happiness. And it even has the words ICU in it. And that's special. So there's an ICU message in that book as well.
I love that. I love that. You said that, well, let me go back. You said that it takes courage to be seen. And at least in my own life, that has been so true. And it's kept me from being able to go and do some of the things that I've wanted to do as a speaker, as an influencer, as someone who's out there. And I see you out there doing all these things, and it's very inspiring. But what helped you to have that courage? Was it just that message that you had, or was there something in particular that helped kind of kick you into doing it, even though it is hard and it does take that courage?
A few things come to mind. I actually was just thinking about, as school's starting again, and I've been speaking to a lot of youth lately, and which isn't my norm, right? I'm usually speaking to adults as my audience leadership. I've been thinking back on when I remember a really specific moment in junior high, walking down the hall. I think I was in eighth grade, and thinking, like, I can be whoever I want to be. And I want to be someone that's nice to everybody. Like, that's who I want to be. That's who I love. That's who makes me feel safe and happy. And it's not that I think I've always been a fairly kind person in general, but just, I want to be someone that's like boldly kind. I just started doing it. Like, I just started saying hi to everyone and being really smiley. And I liked how it felt. It reminds me of the Grinch when they say his heart grew three sizes that day, right? I just was like, I like how this feels. This feels like me. This feels like, and I think it was me just being a little bit more confident of just, I nice, and like maybe uncharacteristically so for junior high. Like, I just want to be a nice person. And then from there, you know, that gave me the courage of, I want to do student council. Like, I, like, why not? Like, it was these little risks of, I can be whoever I want to be. I do think there's something to that in my personality, that I had that confidence to do that. Another thing I think is this, the experience I talked about in the beginning of your show about realizing what really matters and what doesn't. And honestly, like, being brought to my lowest point and having to be that humble before people at my worst, like, I kind of like, am like, I've gotten through that. I can get through anything, like my worst nightmare I could ever imagine, right? As morbid as that sounds, like, it's developed a different kind of confidence in me where I'm like, what's the worst that could happen? Like, it can't be that bad. Like, we've been through hell and back already. Like, nothing can be that bad, you know? I think that's a piece of it, probably. I don't know if that's like a popular answer, but that's the truth. And I think just also making the choice to believe the good things that people say to me. I just was doing an interview with a magazine that called Voyage Utah, I think, and they asked me some of these different questions about confidence and about gaining confidence in my abilities to speak and to share. And so there was also the decision to be made to choose to believe the kind things people said about me. So I would notice, I would teach in my church congregation a lot, and I would have these different people come up to me randomly, not at church, and all say kind of the same things to me, like, you need to know that you have a special ability that, like, you should be doing something with this. Like, this should be kind of, this needs to be bigger, I think, just my two cents. But it's like, I'd have five people say, like, word for word, the same thing. And I remember so vividly, one, as a teenager, I remember a leader giving me a hug and, like, looking me in the face and saying, this one is special. And it's not even the word she said, but the feeling I had when she said it. And I just, like, I believed her.
Your heart. Yeah.
Yeah, I believed her. And then another, this one is special moment. I had just taught to my congregation, and my congregation, I'm not a pastor, sorry, to my group in a church setting. And I remember this person coming up to me saying to me, I love when you teach because it doesn't feel like a lesson. It feels like I'm curling up in a cabin on a couch with like a big blanket and my cup of cocoa. And I'm like, let's go. Like and that's what she said to me. And I was like, I don't totally get what the cocoa means, but I dig this. Like, whatever she's saying right now is working for me and I like it. And, but I, so listening to the feedback I was getting, because sometimes you don't recognize in yourself things you're good at. You're like, I'm good at it. You know, like, you don't know other people's feed. Listening that I was somehow communicating, it was, that gave me confidence, but I had to choose to believe them. Sometimes I think sometimes, and maybe especially as women, I've noticed this, we're really quick to be like, no, like, stop it. No, you're a bet. No, like, we won't accept compliments. And yeah. I think that's really dumb. I'm just going to say, I think it's stupid. But I learned to say thank you, period. So I just start saying thank you and just like accepting it and letting my heart feel it. And that kind of helped lead me down that path, I think, of trusting and believing people that I had gifts to give and that I felt like that was the real me, you know, and that real me was being more and more uncovered. It's not that I changed. It's just that I was continuing to become more bold and comfortable and confident with just letting that be and not covering it up, you know?
Well, and I would say that's when you really stepped into that person who you were meant to be, and you felt like it's okay to be me. I love how you started it off with, you know, I can be anyone I want to be. And I think that's a huge realization when we realize that really is true. Like, we can be anyone we want to be, and we just have to start doing it, which is also what you said. And I just love that, because it's a choice to believe the people around you, but it's also a choice to believe that you can be who you want to be and then do whatever it is that you need to move forward. So I love that. And you also said that you take little risks at a time. And I think that's kind of what it is too, because when you do a little risk and then you realize it actually turns out okay, that helps you to take the next risk and move forward. So I love that. And I'm sorry that you've been through hell and back, because I totally get that, but it really does work, right? You're like, if you've already been to the worst place, then you don't really have that worry that something worse could happen because you've already been there. It sounds like.
Right. Yeah. It builds resiliency and helps you meet other challenges if you let it. I say that. And I'm like, there's also times maybe when you're like, I can do one more thing.
Yeah. You're like, I've had enough. I'm okay.
The bottom of the barrel here. And it's.
Yeah.
Survival. And I say all this and just like for a reality moment, like, I just think it's good to always remember, like, none of us are confident all the time and none of us are like stepping into our power all the time. Like, legit, I binge watched my favorite trash TV last night and ate so much crap until way too late. And I like didn't take off my makeup and now I feel disgusting, right? Like, granted, I'm moving. But like, I woke up this morning and was like, I do not feel like I'm stepping into my power. I kind of feel like crap right now. And I think that just being able to like not take life too seriously, and in general, just trying to develop patterns is progress, and we can always get better, but not beating ourselves up when we're not feeling that all the time is totally normal, I hope, because that's certainly the case for me.
No, I love that. I think if everyone could take that little piece of what you just said, life would be so much better for so many people, and not beating themselves up or thinking those things when we don't have a great day, because we don't, right? And we have to just take those moments to recoup and get through those days when we don't have that power with us. So I love that. Julie, is there anything that you would want to share with this audience or anyone that's listening?
First of all, thanks for having me here. I think more than anything, just understanding and realizing, stepping into this idea that your human connection, your ability to humanly connect, really can transform lives. It can transform cultures. And sometimes it takes being counterculture, even maybe the setting you're in, whether it's in your home, whether it's at work, at school. Maybe it's not the norm to be boldly kind and to look people in the eyes and touch them on the shoulder. Maybe that's not the comfortable norm, and maybe you should change it. Because, I mean, the research out there, and not to use this as a scare tactic, just the facts. Oracle did some really interesting research post-pandemic, and it showed that of the people they surveyed, 78% said that they felt like the pandemic had severely affected their mental health. 53% reported struggling with depression, 52% with anxiety, and 32% with PTSD, even. So, just understanding that, like, we need each other. And the great news is Stanford Medical has also done research, and it shows that what helps lower anxiety, depression, even suicidal ideation, like what makes these things go away or be very, very softened, it's social connection. So, people high in social connection just struggle less. And so, if we're wringing our hands as a leader, or as well, I'm just going to say as a leader, because I think we're all leaders in our own way. If you're wringing your hands, being like, what do I do for my people? And are they struggling? Yes, number one, they are. And number two, find ways to infuse social connection and human connection into your work environment. Make people feel seen, appreciated, and trusted. And you'll see good things happen. I'm sure of it.
Oh, Julie, thank you so much. I think that's such a powerful message that you share, and I'm excited that I get to be here and see you on this part of your journey. Where can we find you?
I'm always around. Here and there. No, so my website is julieleespeaks.com. And on all the platforms, that's my handle, Julie Lee Speaks.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here, and it was just such a pleasure, and thanks all of you that have been listening today to the Be Do Concept podcast. Be who you were meant to be. Do what you were meant to do. We'll talk to you next week. Go out and be the person you were meant to be. And then go D-O, do the things that you were meant to do. It's up to Y-O-U what you